Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, April the 7th. And welcome to our video commentary. One of the things that I wanted to do beginning our commentary today is to congratulate Judge Brown Jackson, who was just elected to the Supreme Court. Obviously, we don't like this particular nominee, but, you know, she is now in the Supreme Court. And the vote came down exactly as predicted, 53-47, three Republicans joining 50 Democrats. The three Republicans, as we mentioned yesterday, were Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, and Susan Collins. Not a big shock here. Romney, a little bit, not Susan Collins. And Lisa Murkowski, not too much either. But anyway, she's in. Nothing really changes. I know a lot of people are very angry about this nomination, but nothing really changes. The Supreme Court is still 6-3 conservative, and that's what we have to think about, making sure that it stays 6-3. And that's why the Senate elections in 2022 are critical, and winning back the White House in 2024 is super critical. So that's really where we need to focus right now. I think we need to stop talking about this nominee and start thinking about the future. The future is the Senate in 2022. We got to get that. And obviously the presidency in 2024, because there will be, over the next 5 years, there are going to be new faces in the Supreme Court. And we got to make sure that a Republican president is nominating the candidate and a Republican Senate is setting up the nomination vote. So keep that in mind. Forget what happened and just focus on 2022 and 2024. I have a post over at the American Thinker today. I'm going to recommend that you check it out. You can go to the American Thinker website, or you can read it in the same page where you follow my videos. And it has to do with President Obama visiting the White House. You may have heard that President Obama went back to the White House. It's a courtesy visit. This happens all the time. I mean, it's not that much of a shock. It happens with Republican presidents and Democrat presidents. But, you know, President Obama came back. And the purpose of the meeting was that they were going to do an anniversary celebration of Obamacare. I think it's anniversary number 12. So anyway, President Obama came back. He spoke. President Biden spoke, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. But then what happened next was absolutely painful to watch. You had President Obama, and everybody was flocking to President Obama, and you had poor President Biden here on the side completely by himself. He was like walking around looking for somebody to talk to. It was really very painful to watch, as I said. I mean, whatever the politics may be, you know, you don't want to see the president of the United States humiliated in that fashion. But that's what it was. He was completely humiliated by his own people. You know, these were not Republicans who were in that room. These were not Republican members of Congress. These were White House staff, the vice president of the United States. And maybe there were some congressional Democrats in there. But what an embarrassing and humiliating moment for President Biden. It was really, as I said, very sad to watch. But it just confirms, I think, what everybody realizes, and that is that he's becoming a real liability, a political liability for the Democrats, and they want nothing to do with him. So they rather live in the nostalgia of President Obama than in the present of President Biden. Very interesting thing to watch, you know, and the picture, as they like to say, told a thousand stories. It was actually humiliating. I'll just leave it at that. I thought it was very humiliating to see the president of the United States have to go to that. You know, we mentioned yesterday that there had been a real political earthquake in Kenosha, where the mayor of Kenosha was the first Republican in like 60 years. Well, there was a little bit of an earthquake also in Waukesha, which is not far. And what happened there is that the conservative, the parents, if you will, did very well in the school board meetings. And these are the parents who opposed to CRT and a lot of the things happening in our public schools. And it was a huge victory for the conservative parents. And I think we are seeing here one of the two big stories of 2022. I keep saying that there's two big stories in 2022. When we look back at all of this in December and November, we're going to be talking about two big things that happened in 2022. The first one is the Hispanic vote. You're going to see the Hispanic vote move to the Republican Party in South Texas, in Arizona, in Nevada, and it's already happening in Florida because of the Cubans. But nevertheless, you're going to see it in places where the Democrats are going to get hurt. So that's going to be one big story, the Hispanic vote. The other big story is the number of parents who are going to be voting. And they're being driven, of course, by their opposition to CRT and many of the things happening in our public schools. And these parents, we saw this in Virginia, we've seen it in other places, are just going to drive the politics of 2022. They are going to be the story of 2022, as I predict. It is a huge movement. They are very well organized. The enthusiasm levels are sky high. So I think when we look back at 2022, Hispanics and the turnout by parents is just going to be huge. And a lot of the reason that I believe the Republicans are going to do so well in November is because of those two factors, the Hispanics and the parents. So watch out for that. But I think we saw a little bit of it in Kenosha and in Waukesha here in the last couple of days. I think these are signs of big things to come in 2022. Now, let's talk a little bit about this latest announcement by Governor Abbott of Texas that they're going to be shipping some illegal immigrants to Washington, D.C. They're going to put them in buses and ship them to Washington, D.C. Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that because the people who are going to be traveling have to volunteer to go. They cannot force people into a bus. So it's not going to be as many as perhaps some people thought. But I think the point that the governor is making is that, look, you know, the border is out of control and we have to take drastic action. And if you know anything about what's happening on the border is out of control. And that is why you're seeing more and more bipartisan opposition to removing Title 42. There is apparently a bill in the U.S. Senate calling for Article 42 to stay on the books. In other words, they don't want President Biden or the Biden administration to remove it from the books. How successful that is, I don't know, because I do believe that the president has some discretion on using Article 42. But I would assume that the Congress has the right or the responsibility to rewrite the article or simply write a new one and send it to the president. I think what everybody's looking for here is an up and down vote. We want to force Democrats to go on record on Title 42. I mean, Democrats have sort of had an easy way out here because they got to criticize President Trump when he implemented Article 42, but they've never actually had to vote on it. And I think what we like to see is Democrats vote yes or no on Article 42. I think in the Senate, there will be many Democrats who will vote no on Article 42. The Democrat in Arizona and Democrat in New Mexico and Democrats in other places where they're in tough re-elections, and this is an issue that is really driving public opinion. I mean, this whole thing on the border is such a mess. It's such a crazy situation. I mean, it's completely, you cannot explain it. It is completely illogical what we're watching on the border. Basically opening the border and letting people in the middle of a pandemic. You've got on one hand Dr. Fauci saying that we may have to have lockdowns, and then on the other hand we're going to open the border. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And I think people are watching this and they're saying, who's running the show? Who's running the show in Washington? And then, of course, to make matters worse, poor President Biden doesn't answer any questions or explains anything. So Article 42, this is really going to be a problem for the Democrats, and that's why you're seeing a lot of bipartisan opposition to ending Article 42. Now, I personally think that Article 42 should be kept in place, but I think the Biden administration should start enforcing immigration laws the ones that we have, the ones that we have, by protecting the border, by simply saying, if you want to come to the country, you got to come into the country legally. There is a way to come in. And, you know, there's an interesting story about this, because this situation on the border is actually hurting the millions and millions of people like my case who came to this country legally. And when you think of the fact that there are anywhere from 2 to 4 million people right now waiting for their legal turn to come into the country, and this situation on the border is making a mockery out of the people who are living by the rules. So the Congress has to, however it does it, it has to make sure that Title 42 stays in place. And I think that President Biden needs to know that if the Republicans take over the House, that they will impeach President Biden for his unwillingness to enforce immigration laws. I mean, look, I don't like to fool around with impeachment, but I think here's a clear-cut case of a president who has not been enforcing the laws of the country, and that's his job, to enforce the laws, and he's not doing it. And I think this is probably the best case for impeachment that I've seen, frankly, in quite some time. Just another quick note that I wanted to say here. We just learned that Speaker Nancy Pelosi has come down with COVID. She tested positive. We just learned this. And she was with President Biden yesterday afternoon at that Obama-Biden ceremony. And apparently Joe Biden's sister also has come down with COVID. And you have to begin to wonder, you know, is all of this a threat to President Biden, who is already 79 years old? Not a good time to catch COVID when you're that age. So I hope the White House is taking care of the president and making sure that he is being tested regularly, because all these people in Washington who come into contact with the president, the press secretary, have COVID. Now the Speaker of the House has COVID. Now his sister has COVID. That's a lot of people with COVID around President Biden. So again, we hope the White House and the White House doctors are doing a good job of making sure that the president is protected and well taken care of, because at his age, obviously Biden at 79 would be a high risk person if he were to catch COVID. Again, Speaker Pelosi, we wish her well. We hope she recovers from COVID. But here's the interesting thing. She had been vaccinated twice, three times, boosted. So she followed all of the procedures and she still got COVID. And that seems to be happening, whether it's the press secretary or anybody else. Seems like a lot of people who did all the boosting and all the injections are coming down with COVID. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against the injections or the vaccine. But it is interesting that the people who are coming down with COVID are the ones, or at least the famous people, are the ones who have already received the shots and the boosting and all of that. So I don't know. I don't know what it means, but it is rather interesting, to say the least. Thank you for watching. And if today is your birthday, happy birthday. And I hope that everybody has a wonderful day. It is actually very pretty here in Texas, a little bit too windy, but it is a very nice beginning to spring. The baseball season starts tomorrow, so we're excited about that. Have a wonderful day, everybody, and thank you for listening to the commentary.